Hey everyone, happy Sunday. We are live for our Sunday weekly warm-up exclusively in our private group over at teachbettergroup.com. My name is Ray Hewart. Brad Hughes is on vacation, but we have an extremely special guest that I know many of you have been very, very excited to hang out with. Please feel free to jump in the comments and let us know where you're watching from today. Also, this is a perfect time to tag your friends. Let them know that you are tuning in to this evening show to set you up for a good week ahead. We'll be right back. Welcome to our Sunday weekly warm-up exclusive in our private Facebook group and then restreamed the following day, Monday night, on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. We have Jonathan here with us. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. It's an absolute honor to be on the show. Holler at everybody that's watching. And hey, I always love talking education with great people, so I'm down.
I was so excited when we finally got this scheduled because you are a hard guy to hunt down. I mean, you are traveling constantly, teaching full time. I'm so excited for our community to get to spend some time with you tonight. Before we get too far, let's make an assumption that maybe some people here aren't yet connected to you. Do you mind sharing a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, Jonathan Alsheimer, teacher, father, husband, author, speaker, the works. You can hit me up at jonathanalsheimer.com or at Mr. Alsheimer on all social medias, but just a quick version, the Cliff Notes version of me. I've been in education for about 14 years. And, you know, my whole jam is like making school fun for kids and having a good time in the classroom, trying to like look outside the box to make things engaging. And one day I had a guy who's in the speaking business pop into my classroom and he was like, man, this is cool, man. Like, and I had no idea who he was at the time. We're great buddies now. And he's like, you got to start presenting this stuff. And it was interesting. He said that. Because I started writing a book. Like, I just think I feel differently about education. We're talking about today, and did a breakout session in Florida. The next thing you know, people liked what they saw. It was engaging to them. It's exciting. And my whole thing is like, I'm a passionate person, especially about everything that I love to do, but especially education. Like, I'm just passionate about it. Want to give teachers the tools to be successful. And so that's who I am in a nutshell.
I love it. There are so many more things to dive into, but for those of you who have not connected with Jonathan, this is your time to like make that happen. I have not only purchased and read your book, and also I've seen you keynote, and you are a powerhouse. It doesn't matter what stage you're on. I have seen you just really leave educators inspired with actionable takeaways, which is a huge thing with our Teach Better community. We love the fluff, right? Everyone loves to feel good, but we want the takeaways. And you are constantly somebody who's out there sharing the tangible takeaways. So I really, really appreciate that about you.
thank you. I was actually really excited because this year, you know, my father's seen me speak twice. And he's like probably the most critical, in a loving way, but the most critical person ever. And I was like, Dad, what do you want me to do differently? And my wife, and it was great to have him at the event. My daughter's. I was the keynote speaker at middle school conference on Friday this past week. And the first time my wife heard.
Oh, hey, Jonathan, it looks like we're getting like every other word. I wonder if your headphones are just needing to catch up. Give us, try it again.
Let's do that.
We're going to switch it up to get good tech going. Here, you're muted. Unmute yourself. Let's see if that works.
Can you hear me better like this?
Oh, so much better. Good. We didn't want to miss that story. Keep going.
Pretty good headphones, man. This is the worst. Well, you might hear my family running around the hallway. So what I was saying
like
was,
it that way. It's Sunday. We're all at home in our PJs getting ready for the week. You're good.
I was done. So what I was saying was I just had the opportunity to be the keynote speaker for the Virginia Middle School Conference, the annual conference. And it was this past Friday. And it was the first time that my wife and kids were there. And for me, like the pressure was on. Like when I say the pressure was on, it was so on. And to have my family front row to have my girls there. Cause I tell a story about each of my daughters at the keynote, in my keynote. And I remember, like, I was in the hallway next to the main hall. And I was just like jamming out to my music, trying to like focus up. And when it was all said and done, it was wild because at two different times I looked at my daughters in the eyes as I was telling a story about them, and they were both tearing up, and I held it together the first time. But the final piece, like my, just the crusher at the end, is about my oldest daughter, Adley. I looked at her, she teared up. I almost cried on stage. I was like, I can't look at you anymore. I looked away. But when it was done, it was amazing. I got the standing ovation, and then my girls just, and my niece was there too. And they ran over and gave me a hug. And somebody actually caught that and posted on social media. And so it was just an amazing moment. It's great stuff.
Oh my God, I love those moments. And that's actually what I feel like makes a good educational speaker, educational coach, educational keynote, is that real element. You want to bring the humanity, the authenticity. And I've seen that from you in many, many interviews I've watched you do, in hearing you do a live keynote. I mean, I think that's what makes you such a desirable educator to be connected with, because it feels like a real conversation. It doesn't feel like a gimmicky thing. And so it's awesome that you're able to keep this up and that people are getting the feeling and the impact that you want out of those experiences. For our people here who may not know the type of work that you're most passionate about, without going too far into it, because we'll go into that as we get into the interview, but sure. What do you feel like is like your go-to topic? What do you turn to when it's like, we want to hear what you think? What's the soapbox topic?
Yeah, I'm really big on like two major things. So, and we'll dive into all that, but climate and culture and how teachers are the driving force of school culture. And you know, schools moving a forward trajectory only because of the people that walk the halls each and every day. Leadership's key. They can make or break too, but it's really the teachers. That's number one. Climate culture is huge. But then number two is giving teachers what they need, the tools and the ideas to enhance student engagement. Also, and I'm going to lump in like building relationships, because one of the things that I'm really big on too, is like, you got to have that relationship piece with the kids. But a lot of times it's like, how do I do that? So you can do that in an engaging way. And so it's all about, for me, it's like giving teachers the ideas, like, here's an idea, gamification, AI, like all the things to kind of take the weight off of teachers. Cause this is the toughest time in education, in my personal opinion, that there's ever been. Yeah. So climate and culture, all stuff, no fluff. And then enhancing student engagement, again, all stuff, no fluff, real ideas that people can use and walk away with, practical stuff, you know, like practical things, not like I got to spend 4 hours developing something, like something that I can use, modify to meet the needs of my kids.
Ugh, it's so good. Friends, you have so much in store. I'm so excited for this conversation. Jonathan, here in this community, we share green hearts when we like things. And I'm already seeing some green hearts. People are very excited for this conversation. And a few friends who have never heard you speak or not read your book. And there's already some conversation in the comments about how their next read is going to need to be your book. And they're excited to connect with you. So great things here. As far as, you know, day to day, because we'll get into the hows and all those incredible skills that you share with teachers on the daily in our next segment. What does a typical day look like in your life?
Oh my goodness. Well, a typical day, wake up at 4 o'clock with my wife. We're working out, we roll into school, and you know, we do everything that the teachers are doing, you know, and that's the thing. I was just having a conversation on social media, like a couple minutes before I got on, and the guy's like, are you a full-time speaker? Are you a full-time teacher? Like, what are you both? Like, what is your thing? So I'm a full-time teacher. So wake up at 4 o'clock, get to the school, do all the things, get home. You know, if it's a speaking event day, then I'm literally leaving my school and going to the airport, flying out of DC to wherever, you know, and then right now I'm in the midst of writing my second book. My first book, Next Level Teaching, is all about, you know, the climate culture of teachers. But my second book that I'm writing with, I'm writing for Jimmy Costas, his publishing company, is all about the tangible strategies, the lessons, and it's just chock full of stuff. So I'm in the middle of like writing that at night. Like tonight, I'll be writing that tonight. I'll be writing it on the plane as I head to California in like 2 days. Like it's, you know, it's just one of those things. And then in the meantime, like for me, and if anybody that follows me on social media, like you will see this, for me, it's about being a good husband and a good father and someone that my kids hopefully can look at and say, hey, my daddy worked hard. He loved his mama. or he loved his wife, their mama, and you know, built a good home for them. So for me, it's a lot of things, but I got a really good support staff. My wife, I have to shout her out like 14 times. My wife is a superstar rock star teacher. She's a third grade teacher. She actually set the record at her school at one point for like the highest math, state test score. So she's really good. So I pick her brain left and right, but then she has to take on all the things when I'm gone. And man, half the time I'm like putting lunches together. Like if I have to do it by myself, I'm like trying my best. And she's just like making it look like it's so easy. So it could not be done without her. And then I got two amazing little girls. So
no, but that's the best. I mean, to live this lifestyle, you have to have good people surrounding you, not only to help with the stuff, but also I love that you're talking about picking her brain, because more educators, more great educators that get together and talk shop, the better we all are. And you have two under one household, which is so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to say this, I got to throw this in here, this plug. I always say, like, I hate when people are like, do you come up with everything? Or, you know, does a teacher have to come up with their own ideas? I think this, if you don't steal from other teachers, like you are doing it wrong. Like you're doing it so wrong. Like if you think I'm making up all my ideas, no, I might make them a little different. You have to modify and differentiate everything. There's no like, I'm going to take your idea and hit the play button and go sit in the corner. But like you can steal from everybody, and it doesn't matter the grade level. It doesn't matter the subject, like steal, use, make it better. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, two great educators. I steal from her all the time. I'm not going to lie.
That's the best, though. That's how it should be. I couldn't agree more. We're always encouraging our community to share resources, talk through ideas, and steal from one another so that we can all be better for our students. So I love this. Comments are already eating it up. I got two questions for you. Yep. One is very selfish. Where are you going in California? Because I'm going next week, too.
This is a return trip. So I'm going to a school called Tumbleweed Elementary School, which is like north of LA by an hour. And it's pretty cool because I was there 2 weeks ago doing my keynote for their staff, and I'm going back for a workshop. And they have no idea what they're about to get themselves into. It's going to be awesome. Oh, but they're like an hour from the coastal highway. So, you know, you always see it on the movies, like people driving down the coastal highway. And I drove into Malibu, and I was hanging out at Malibu in a suit. Like, I didn't look the part. I didn't feel it either. Because I went in to buy a t-shirt for my wife, and it was like an $85 t-shirt.
Of course.
And I was like, I can't do that. Then I went to get a sweatshirt, and it was $155. I was like, I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah, no way. I will say, I don't know how long you're going to be there when you're there, but I'm in LA Thursday, Friday, also working with a school.
Awesome. Where are you going to be? What school?
There is an incredible charter school that we're working with over there that we love, Larchmont. They do great work. And so go figure, we'll be on the West Coast. Cool. I am unfortunately also staying for, it's like a 7-day trip because we're working with a school Friday. So you fly in Thursday, whatever. And then we're working with another school Monday, Tuesday the following week. But that one is in Yosemite, like National Park, so different from LA. I cannot wait for the West Coast vibe. So, hey, see you in the airport, give you a high five.
Yeah, sounds good.
The other thing I know our community is wondering, rather than your travel schedule, that's totally a personal question for me, but is how you manage it all. I'm sure people ask all the time, and I know we have to like get this one, you know, done. Otherwise somebody in the comments is going to be like, Jonathan, how do you do it? But it's true, right? You're a busy dad, a busy teacher, a full-time husband. And now you're talking about writing a book, which people are so excited for the second book, and couldn't give you a better, like, you know, celebration for the publisher. I know that that's going to be awesome with Jimmy Casas, but think about everything else. Like, how do you handle it?
You know, that's a great question. I've had that asked a lot, and I've answered it a few different ways, but
sure.
You know, it's really just comes down to, you know, I just feel like I have a drive to, I've always grown up knowing, like, I never knew what I wanted to do as a really young kid, but I knew I wanted to make a difference in the world. And I've always had a fire and a drive for that. And so really what it comes down to is a couple of things. Number one, I just want to make the world a better place, you know, by my actions, by my character, and by the work ethic that I put out there and the stuff that I put out there. You know, for me, when I'm doing like a workshop or I'm doing a keynote or I'm doing all this work, like I literally almost every time I start with like this, I am a, if it should have been an email, it should have been an email guy. Don't bother me with somebody that's going to be like, I'm not here to just hear some words. I'm here to learn something. I'm here to be motivated. I want to walk away with stuff that's going to make me better. And for me, I can say, when I say that, I say, I'm leaving my two kids. And oftentimes they're in tears when I leave. So if I'm leaving, I'm not wasting your time. So don't waste mine. Let's get after it. And so there's just a drive there. Additionally with that, I have a great, like I said, a great support staff. Like this, it can't be done without that. And to have like two little girls, when I leave, they know like they need to be taking care of the house while daddy's gone. My wife's fantastic, but it's just, I have a mission. You know, my life is not about like waking up and just getting a paycheck and going to sleep. It's about waking up and making this world a better place. And I see a lot of struggle in education. I grew up, both my parents were teachers. My wife's a teacher. Like I'm born and bred in the game of education. And so for me, I see not only the stress I've gone through with like lesson planning or these different things that we've all dealt with, but how can I fix that? How can I make it better? And by no means am I perfect and no means am I going to have all the answers, but I'm going to do my best. And just that drive to make that happen. And then just trying to juggle it all. Some days that's good. Some days it's not. Some days I'm stressed out. Some days it works really good. But you know, when I have a wife, the superstar wife I have, it makes it a whole lot easier.
So powerful. So many good things. People are asking about the book. I'm sure they can go grab it at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. Easy spot. We got people engaging with one another in the chat, which is exciting. We're going to dive into Jonathan's brain a little bit more by asking some questions about his passion and what he shares with educators. So we'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. We are currently enjoying our Sunday weekly warm-up, getting you ready for the week ahead. And we have Jonathan with us. I am loving the comments coming in. Keep them flowing. They're not only answering each other's questions, but also sharing your website, which I was eventually going to have you share. But it sounds like the comments just can't wait till the end of the show to connect with you. I also love that people are in the comments talking about how they've heard you keynote and how it's been one of their favorite keynotes they've heard. They said that your engagement is like amazing, and you constantly work to stay so relevant to the audience you're speaking to. So you have a lot of love happening in the comments, which is always exciting. I know we have some educators that also took a note here that said that they're ready to take notes. And in this section, that's where we usually find people taking those major takeaways because we're focusing on our Sunday strategies. So Jonathan, I want to go back to that soapbox moment, and we have some time here, so I'm not rushing you, but if there was one takeaway that you wanted our community to have following this conversation, let's pretend they remembered nothing else, what would you want that major takeaway to be?
Well, I mean, geez, that's really tough for me to answer because I could soapbox all day long. I'm a preacher at heart, I think.
Yeah.
It's this, my big thing is this, like, don't expect to like all of a sudden, you know, today I feel like this as a teacher, and then tomorrow I have to be like perfect, or, you know, I have to have like 15 new strategies by the end of the month. Like my big thing is, you know, take it one day at a time. Look at what you did last year. How can you make it a little bit better? Try to pick one thing that you can get better at and try one new thing in the classroom. You know, we're going to talk about a lot of strategies, I'm sure, today. You know, take one and think like, how can I make this happen? You know, how can I work with it in my classroom? And just one day at a time, get a little bit better. It's just like with sports or anything else you do, like just get a little bit better every single day. And then the next thing you know, you look back, it's like, I remember my first year as a teacher. I was like, I thought I was pretty good. Looking back now, like I was God awful. And every year I could probably say like, not good, not good, you know? And now I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, I'm fantastic. Like there are things that you can't always do. And it also depends on your kids and the grade level and all the things. Right. But, you know, looking back, like I've grown so much, but it's been a long time. So don't expect to change overnight. Take it slow, and that's okay. And it's a, It's about progress, not perfection. It sounds like such a cliche thing to say, but it's the truth.
Yeah, I love that. How could you say it better? Like, that's amazing. It's the teach better mindset that we talk about, right? Better today, yeah. Better tomorrow. I love that, that creation. And, you know, Jonathan, I love that your challenge to our community as a takeaway is more of a how than a what. It's not about having the what, but truly like respecting the process and being dedicated to growth, which is really exciting. We can get into a little bit of the what though, since obviously you've written a book and obviously do a lot of professional development for teachers. What do you feel like educators need to hear right now? Because it's March. A lot of educators are either headed to spring break or wrapping up their spring break. And like you said earlier, I mean, teaching's harder than ever these days. So while, you know, being a little bit better at each and every day is great, there's also a lot of areas that educators are thinking about they could probably work on since we wear so many hats. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. Well, I'm going to say like, you know, for me, it's about making the classroom engaging. And that's what it comes down to, like, number one, making the classroom engaging. But when I say that, like, there's so much to it. And it's really hard to say, like, it's March. What do you pick now? So I'm just going to throw a bunch of things out there. And it doesn't have to be March. It could be August. It could be whatever. Like, number one, I like to say, teachers, be the conductor of the symphony in your classroom, in your hallway. Like, set a standard and live by that. So like in school leaders that are watching this, like, I do a leadership keynote. And I say the same thing that I say to the teachers, too. You set the standard. What do you want your school to look like? Like, what do you want to look like? What you want your classroom to look like? And then you make it happen, and you make it, and you have to live by that. You can't say, like, that's the one thing I think in education that is so frustrating for teachers especially, but like, people are like, let's go in the beginning of the year. And they're like, let's make it happen. And we're going to do this, 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 and this. Well, how about we just do this and we do it all year? Consistency. Like, and everybody comes out with a new word every single year. They're like, my word is this. My word is this. I just said in the keynote on Friday, I said, if I could pick a word, I never do, but if I could pick a word, it would be consistency. I don't care what you're doing. Just be consistent at it. Because whether you're a teacher, whether you're a bus driver, whether you're cafeteria staff, whether you're a superintendent, I don't care what you are. If you lack consistency, you've lost. You've lost your teachers and you've lost your students. For example, if I come in on day one, and this is just me throwing what I, you know, this is me. When I come in on day one, my kids, like, my standard is set, and it's going to be like that every single day. So when you walk into my classroom as an adult, my students will stand for you. Now, a lot of people might be like, well, wait, what? Like, how do you do that? And so for me, I'm a second child. I bucked the system. Like, I never really got in trouble because my dad, you know, my parents, like, they wouldn't handle that. But I always wanted to know why. Why is this a rule? Like, I need to know. So when I tell my kids, it's like, listen, like, if you stand up when someone walks in, you don't know if they're going to give you money for the school. You don't know if it could be a parent. We want to show respect for them, but it could be, what if it's the principal? Oh my goodness. Can you imagine what the principal is going to think about our classroom or you specifically? What if you've been deemed a troublemaker? Maybe you're whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, you want to impress the people that come into this building. So stand up for them when they walk in and watch their faces. And inevitably the kids I'll tell teachers or principals, hey, come in at my classroom at such and such a time. Let's test it. Because the more you practice it, consistency, the more it becomes routine. So people would come in, kids would stand, the people would be like, whoa. And then the kids would be looking at me like, yeah, Mr., you see that? And so they're locked in. Then it's like, what else is the standard? Yes, sir. No, sir. If you don't know how to get a pencil, this is how you do it. All those routines are in place. Then after that, again, consistency. I'm consistently going to try and build relationships with my students. And there's going to be kids that want nothing to do with me. And there's going to be kids I can't build a relationship with. But that doesn't mean I don't stop trying. I'm going to consistently try to chip away at that ice. And I might do that through saying a joke of the day. In my classroom, I have a Mr. Alzheimer story of the day. And if I don't tell it, the kids are like, Mr. Alzheimer, you owe us two stories today. Like, give us something, right? And so that's a way to build relationships with my kids. Additionally, I use that as an engagement piece. There's a lot of research that shows, like, if you get kids laughing or whatever, like, all of a sudden the endorphins in your brain are kicking in, and now they're more willing to collaborate with each other. They're more willing to talk during group work or to participate when they normally won't, right? So in this case, when I do those small things, like, that's not just like I'm not winging it. Like, I've already thought of these things ahead of time. And if it doesn't work, and there's times where I have a class that, like, maybe that doesn't work, so I'm going to try another avenue. And as it relates to engagement, again, consistency. I still do note card thing. I still do the worksheets every once in a while. I still do different stuff. But how can I get kids up and moving? How can I turn a worksheet into an activity? How can I take a thing I did last year? I'll tell you what, like I'm going off on a tangent here, but I did sketch noting with kids, and I was teaching them the kids who, like, I can't draw at all. My daughter's fantastic. But I was like, use the computer and trace it. You got the idea. You might not know how to draw it, but you got the idea. And I'm going to have you create a study guide. So I look at your study guide and I can see it all. What if I'm a Esau kid and I can't read it, but I can see it, right? Well, this year we took it a step further and it's like, all right, let's use AI. And all of a sudden the kids were like, Mr. A, I literally just want to play on AI. And like, they love like building images. Like you type in a sentence, and in my workshop, I actually have it up on the board. We did this as a class. It was like, it was on Canva. I hit the AI generator button and I was like, and there's a ton of apps you can use, but it was like cowboys and the Great Plains with a sunset, because they all know Mr. Alzheimer loves sunsets, right? So all of a sudden this awesome thing pops up and they're like blown away. It looks so real. So now they're building using tech. Now they're building sketch notes. Now they're building creative writing. I was just doing a workshop in New Jersey like 2 weeks ago, and a first grade teacher walks up and goes, how do I get my kids to want to such and such? I was like, you have first grade kids, so there's going to be a little bit of a modification here. But have them type one sentence after they write it with you and you correct the grammar. Have them write one sentence, hit the AI generator button and see what pops up, and have them make 10 slides with stuff that they want to write about. Kid playing baseball outside pops up. Now put that on, show them how to put it on a slide, and now they can create it. And it's just their imagination, but they're writing, right? Or they're practicing, whatever. And then if you have high school kids, you could take it to a whole nother level. We did. I'm blasting out my Ray of Hope shirt. This is our give back campaign where we created, we literally created a business in the classroom. And I used the idea of our business to show kids that AI, you can bring a story to life. So they had their own project. It wasn't a business. We did a business one, but there was their own project. And I want graphics. I want to see it. I don't want to read everything all the time, although I do, but I want to see it. And I was like, you can use the AI, you can use AI generators and all these different things to bring your ideas in any capacity, in any content, at any grade or subject, whatever, to life. And all of a sudden these kids, I'm showing them stuff and they're like, I was like, look at the picture of this young boy in a hospital bed holding a teddy bear like we have in our business. And I was like, now, if you notice that picture, that's not real. And they're like blown away by it. Whoa, this is not real. No. So now they're diving into it. And by the time class is over, like, when you hear this and you hear it a lot, Mr. A, class is over. Like, I don't want to leave yet. Well, it's too bad. You got to go. Can we do it at home? I mean, do homework? Yeah. I mean, if you want, like, kids are asking to do the work at home. And it's just, again, consistency. Like, this is not an everyday thing. Right. But like looking at like, I did it last year. It looked like this. That's cool. I'm going to take a chance on trying something new. And then all of a sudden, wow, this works. And I'm going to use it in a lot of different avenues, right? So again, for me, consistency. I set the standard in my classroom. Consistency. I set the standard of how I build relationships. Consistency every single day. It's not a Monday, Tuesday thing or August, September thing. It's an everyday, all year thing, getting kids engaged in the learning process.
I love so many takeaways in this conversation thus far. I'm really enjoying the focus on the word consistency as something that we can all reflect on this week as we head into a March week ahead. You know, it's interesting. On Thursday nights, one of my responsibilities is to facilitate a grid method certification program that we're doing. And we're in a pilot stage. So it's like a group of educators that applied to essentially get certified in mastery learning. So it's really interesting. It's very focused on discussion. And one of the elements that came up this week was struggling to really get the classroom management down of a very mastery learning focused classroom. There's a lot of new elements that teachers need to essentially learn how to do differently than a previous, maybe more traditional classroom. And one of the focuses was truly choosing to do it consistently. If you try something for a day or two, it's not gonna stick. And if you give up on it, then it for sure isn't going to stick. So this reflection here on consistency is going to be something that I really envision every single educator being able to reflect on, because there's so many elements of the teaching profession that you can choose consistency for, whether it be managing your emotions in class, lesson planning, management, or anything in between. So many great takeaways here, Jonathan. I want to make sure that our community here has a way to stay connected to you, because I know that they are going to be eating up this content. And because I know you already have a book that many of our community here has already gone off and purchased on Amazon, I'd love just to make sure they also are able to follow you too.
Yeah. At Mr. Alsheimer on all social medias, and then JonathanAlsheimer.com. And you can message me on at JonathanAlsheimer.com. You know, if you're a school leader, a teacher, whatever, that's how you get to my email. You can hit me up about anything. I love communicating with people. I love to collaborate. Collaboration's key in this game, and working off of each other and learning from each other.
You know, we have one more segment left in our conversation. I know we're running a little over, but I don't care. We're going to definitely go over in our time for a few minutes. It's called our Sunday Spark. And usually Brad Hughes, who is on the show, typically hosting with me, shares a great story, something positive going on in the world. We're going to flip the mic a bit. And after this next commercial, Jonathan, we're going to ask you for a story that either you've typically share with your students, or maybe a story about a recent teacher that you've engaged with, to continue giving us that Sunday spark. So you have a few minutes to prepare. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, we are wrapping up our Sunday weekly warm-up, but we are here for our Sunday Spark, which is a very fun time every single show where we share something positive happening in the world. We are flipping it to Jonathan to share some thoughts on what spark we could wrap up our show with. Anything come to mind that you want to celebrate? Something wonderful in the world that we want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this, I'm going to keep it local if that's okay.
Please.
And I have to share this because it just happened this past week, and it's this, one of the things that my school did, and there's a whole story behind this, but I'm wearing the shirt for a reason, and it's not even, hey babe, my girls are all saying goodnight, but it's actually it's something that's happening in a local elementary school, and of course I've talked about my Ray of Hope thing, and it's a project, for those that don't know, it's a project where it was a class project where we created a business around raising money for buying toys for kids in the hospital over the holiday break. And it was a massive thing. And the story stems from my daughter was in the hospital and she got a hospital box with toys from a family that donated it because they lost their son in a tragic accident. So rather than delving into or dwelling on the negative and why this or whatever, they decided to make something better happen in his name. And then my mom passed away from cancer. Her name is Kim Ray Alsheimer, and she was a first grade teacher. And so we changed the name of the project that was originally From Kids to Kids to a Ray of Hope. And then now it's gone national. There's schools all over the country doing this. And it's literally, you don't have to buy anything. You literally just raise money, buy toys for kids, and make somebody's day at your hospitals. And so I'm going to throw a few things out there that are related to this because it's a feel good story, right? We just had a school in Chicago area, where their high school student council did 85 boxes to the local pediatric unit. There was a school a month and a half ago in Orlando, elementary school, that raised enough money to do like 30 or 40 boxes for the local cancer ward for the pediatric unit. And then my daughter's school, so this is all over the country. My daughter's school, I spoke at their school this fall, and their guidance counselor was like, I want our kids to do this. And so I just met with their school, their team, and the PTA, and they're going to actually run this through their elementary school and give boxes to our local hospitals as well. And it's just amazing thing. Cause here's the truth of it. It's about empowering kids to realize their full potential. And whether this is, this is something that started with my students, but the fact that whether it's my daughter's school or another school, to see kids build something that they didn't realize that they could build, and to give back in a way that's just, it's just teaching them empathy, but it's teaching them that in a way where they're realizing something like, man, we did something big. It wasn't like somebody gave us the money or gave us the resource and we just took it to the hospital. Like, they may have given us the money, but we
We did the financial sheets. We found out which things were the most money. We did the flyers. We did the this. We did the that. We put it all together. We packaged it. We bought the stuff, and then we put it together and took it to the hospital. And there's so much power in that. And so I'm really excited for my daughter's elementary school to take this project on to make it happen and to make a difference in the community. I wish of all things, I wish that teachers and schools would stop with this idea of school is just about passing tests. If you give kids a reason to show up and you focus on effort and attitude and studying, those test scores are going to go through the roof, not because you push test scores down kids' throats, but because you give them a reason to show up. And when you give kids a reason, something like this, they're doing something massive. Now they're connected with their math teacher in a way that they weren't before. Now they're connected with their whatever teacher in a way they weren't before. And now they're showing up and they're connected with their school in a way that they weren't before. And you're going to have more parent participation. You're going to have more community participation, and you're going to have kids that are showing up. I've had kids that were like showing up with smiles, asking to stay. And that's going to be something that they're going to remember for the rest of their life. And it happened at our school. If we just give kids a chance to make a difference, oh my gosh. And you can rope in all the academics with the writing and the math and the things into the project. But at the end of the day, it's about making a difference in the lives of our kids by giving them a chance to build something special in the community.
So many good things here. And Jonathan, that was the perfect way to wrap up this show. I'm so excited for our community to connect with you and support the work that you're doing, whether it be in the classroom as an educator, in the incredible community you've built of your professional learning network, supporting educators through professional development opportunities, and everything in between that you are working on. So I really, really, really appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up.
That was a blast. Thank you so much.
For everyone here, we hope you have an amazing week ahead. Connecting with Jonathan is only the first step. Feel free to go grab his book. And hey, it sounds like you might even want to bring him out for a keynote. I can recommend it. If anyone needs like a letter of like a reference, I'd be like, yes, he's a great keynote. Bring him out. I am excited for you guys to continue this conversation off of our live stream, but we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week making a huge impact on students. Have a great night, guys. See you later.